All religions and the things. I've been wanting to do this message because people have actually requested me to teach about Mariolatry. I've referred to it a lot of times, but I haven't taught about it. And so we're going to go back and we're going to study the evolution of Mariolatry, or the goddess of Rome. We're going to do that now. And I'm using notes that I taught in church history probably nearly 50 years ago. We talk about different things in Catholicism. We talked about the rosary. We're going to get to that, what year that happened, but the rosary goes long before Catholicism. This is a worry beads that they use in the Middle East. They go, you'll see them going like this all the time there. They'll have these worry beads. These worry beads go back to actually to Nimrod and the Tower of Babel even. And in different religions all over the world, they have these worry beads. They're different kinds and different things, but they all go back to a type of rosary. As you can see here, these were given to me a long time ago. And you'll see these in the Middle East. You go to the Middle East, you'll see a lot of men carrying these things in their pocket. They'll get them out and they'll just start going like that. Those are worry beads and are a type of rosary. They count prayers in different religions with beads. And it all goes back into paganism, where it actually started. I'll get that in a little bit. There's about 44 things here that I want to bring to you about the evolution of Catholicism. Of course, we have this map behind me that the Lord called His church out. They had to go underground, basically through Roman persecution, through Judaistic persecution, and then by the Church of Rome. And then they became known as Novatians, Puritans, Patarines, Cathari, the Paulicians, Anabaptists. The Baptists in this country were called Anabaptists because they rebaptized everybody that came to them. They were known as Wiedertaufers in Germany, the Anabaptists, and all wherever they went, they would only accept the baptism that had been given to them by the Lord in the Matthew, the beginning of Matthew, and also in Mark 3:16 through 18. Now let's go back and look at some of these inventions of the Catholic Church, this outlaw religion, basically, and the goddess of Rome. Presbyters were first called priests by Lucian in the 2nd century. Sacerdotal Mass was instituted by Cyprian in the 3rd century. Prayers for the dead in 300 A.D. Making of the sign of the cross in 300 A.D. The wax candles, and of course the candles have to be made out of beeswax, etc., etc. You know, you have to go through all of this, very certified candles, but all of that is Catholicism and paganism. And at 320 A.D. The veneration of angels and dead saints and the use of images was started in 375, but really established over here, St. Image Work in 787. The Mass became a daily ritual in 394. The Mass is the Lord's Supper, basically. And beginning of the exaltation of Mary, the term the Mother of God, first applied to her by the Council of Ephesus in 431. And here we have Mariolatry way back over here in 431. And Mariolatry, now the worship of Mary, will evolve. As it began, they called her the Mother of God. Then they began to replace prayers in Jesus' name to prayers to Mary or prayers to the saints. The priest began to wear special clothing in 500 A.D. What actually the Catholic Church did was adopted Judaism, the priest's garments in Judaism. They adopted this and because it looked very pomp and circumstance, okay? Then we have extreme unction in 526 A.D. And what is extreme unction? It's to make your last prayers, and they gave the Eucharist to those that can take it when they're dying, the last unction, the extreme unction, the last unction. And what it is trying to get them into heaven. But we know that once we have been saved and sealed with the Holy Spirit, that heaven is over with. As far as that's concerned, we go to heaven, period. That's it. Once we have been saved, you're sealed for heaven. You've got the key to heaven from then on. That time. And it's by the merits of Jesus Christ only. The doctrine of purgatory. The doctrine of purgatory. Here's purgatory over here. And it actually was about 593 A.D. by Gregory the First. Now, we get up to about 600 A.D. and we began to use Latin in worship. Now, if you're going to sell a bill of goods to somebody and they have the Word of God and you start trying to teach them that the things that the Catholic Church is practicing is right, you have to keep them from the Bible. You have to keep them from the Bible. Now, in the Catholic Church, now Latin is the language, isn't it? That's the language. They do everything by Latin. Latin was the legal language in history because of the Catholic Church. Everybody that wrote a bachelor's degree or a master's degree or a doctorate, it had to be written in Latin back in these days. The priest had to pray in Latin, and they had to do the masses in Latin, so the people wouldn't really know what they were saying. Because they didn't know Latin. The people didn't know Latin. They just knew that when this thing started right now, this little ceremony started right now, you're supposed to bow down, you're supposed to get down on your knees, you're supposed to do whatever. You do it by rote. And so Latin began to be used around 600 A.D. Around 600 A.D. also, the Catholic Church began to offer prayers to Mary. And the whole idea of that was, Mary's the mother of God, and Mary's the mother of Jesus, and He's God. And if you want to get somebody to do something for you, you go to their mother. Because they will not refuse a mother. Because they love their mother so much, they will not refuse their mother. So now, instead of praying in Jesus' name to the Father, now you're going to go start praying to Mary, and that totally is a blank wall to God. Those prayers are not going to get to God. Because now you have done away with all of the access. There's only one mediator between man and God. It's not Mary. It's not any saint. It is Jesus Christ Himself. Prayers were offered to Mary and the dead saints around in the 600s, early 600s. And the first man to be proclaimed as the Pope is Leo. And Boniface III, actually. These two were proclaimed as Pope in 610 A.D. And then in 709 A.D., they began to kiss the ring of the Pope and to kiss his feet. That's when they began to kiss his feet and kiss his ring, in 709 A.D. Now, all temporal power in the world, all temporal power in the world, and that means that this Pope is over every government that is under Catholicism. Now, he tells everybody what to do. That's really when the Catholic Church really gained her footing and her power. The temporal power of the popes was conferred by Pepin, the king of the Franks, in AD 750. Then we have the veneration of the cross and images and relics authorized in 786. Then in 850 we have holy water that has been blessed, mixed with salt, and used by the priests in 850 AD. We have the veneration of Joseph in 890 AD, because this is the guy that raised Jesus. This is the guy that married Mary. Of course, now the Catholic Church has Joseph married to several other women also. And these other women are the ones that had Jesus' brothers and sisters, because they were only his, what? His brothers and sisters through his father, and through, not even, they weren't even blood brothers and sisters. But in the Bible, the word brother and sister comes from Adelphi and Adelphos, which means from the same womb. So that settles that argument right there. Now we have the College of the Cardinals begun in 927 A.D., and baptism of bells instituted by Pope John the 13th in 965. The canonization of dead saints first begun by Pope John the 15th in 995 A.D. We're getting to Mary now. And the Mass developed gradually as a sacrifice and attendance made obligatory. In other words, you had to go to Mass in around the 11th century. In 1123 A.D., celibacy of the priest was declared by a Catholic bull or edict in 1123. The rosary is adopted from the pagan religions by Peter of Hermit in 1090 A.D. Now, St. Dominic was supposed to, they were trying to combat the teaching and the preachings of the Albigenses. Albigenses means white people. In other words, pure people. They were Christians, thoroughly. And they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the rosary was adopted from paganism. As we see, it goes all the way back to Nimrod and through Muslim world and etc., etc. It was supposed to be an antidote for the teachings of the Albigenses. And it was developed by Dominic, and he supposedly was instructed by Mary herself to preach the rosary in their own, and in the Catholic Church's own encyclopedia. They talk about this, but it goes back as far as Nimrod and Nineveh and pagan religions. And remember, Matthew 7, 1 through 6 talks about outlaw religions, and here we have this. And how did it get where it's going? Catholicism in 325 A.D. did not teach what Catholicism teaches today. It was an evolution and the invention of all of these rites, and every one of them, what every one of these rites and ceremonies did was to take you further away from God and replace Jesus Christ and direct prayer to the Father. Let's go on a little bit further. The Inquisition instituted by the Council of Verona in 1184, and I'm going to tell you something, the Inquisition was not right. The Inquisition was not right. That's where they began to torture Christians. Anyone that believed different than they did, they tortured them until they said that they were instructed in worshiping demons, and then they would kill them. The sale of indulgences And 1190, and here we have indulgences over here also. The indulgences began over here in the 600s. It began as payment to the soldiers that would go out and conquer and be in the Roman Catholic army, the Holy Roman Empire. That was their payment. They had their forgiveness of sins for all that he stole, that they raped, that they pillaged, whatever it sins that they did was okay because they did it in the name of the Catholic Church. But the sale of indulgences began in 1190 A.D. The seven sacraments defined by Peter Lombard as he preached against them was in the 12th century. And I have the seven sacraments over there, the book of the seven sacraments, and I have talked about these in the past. The sacraments are vehicles of grace, you know, baptism and marriage, the Eucharist. All of these are different vehicles of grace. Transubstantiation was defined by Pope Innocent III in 1215. There we have transubstantiation, where now the blood of Jesus Christ is in the cup, in the wine, literal blood of Jesus Christ, and the literal body, his body is in the wafer. And if you don't believe that, you can't go to heaven, and neither can you take the Eucharist. And the Eucharist is a vehicle of grace riding straight into heaven. Auricular confession of sins to a priest instead of God, instituted by Pope Innocent III, and he wasn't quite very innocent, was he, in 1215, if he did this. Their adoration of the wafer, the bread, is decreed by Pope Honorius III in 1220 A.D. The Bible is forbidden to anyone that is not a priest. The Bible is forbidden, and by the way, you cannot have it in the Greek language. They burned enough Bibles to start a forest fire with burning up the Bibles in the original language, in the Greek and the Hebrew. And then the Bible could only be printed in Latin, but then you couldn't have one of them either. The Bible is completely forbidden to laymen and placed on the index of forbidden books by the Council of Valencia in 1229 A.D. Now the good luck charms, okay? It's good luck charms are invented by Simon Stock of England, the scapula, in 1251 A.D. The cup or the wine in the Lord's Supper or the Eucharist is forbidden to the laity at the communion of the Council of Constance, and this is where many priests began to be alcoholics. In the AA meetings, there is a group there especially for Catholic priests, because the Catholic priests have to fast before they take and offer the communion to the people, and they drink the whole cup of wine. And they become alcoholics. Many of them do. Purgatory is proclaimed as a dogma by the Council of Florence in 1439, literally. Purgatory was preached before that, but now it is declared as a dogma of the Catholic Church in 1439. Now, tradition is declared as equal to the Scriptures by the Council of Trent in 1545. The doctrines or tradition is declared on equal authority with the Bible in 1545. In other words, if the dogma of the Catholic Church say today something different than the Bible said when the apostles wrote it down or Jesus spoke it or whatever, that the traditions are of equal authority with that and will supersede it. Now, the creed of Pope Pius IV imposed on the official creed in places of the original apostolic creed in 1560. The Immaculate Conception of Mary proclaimed by Pope Pius IX in 1854, the Immaculate Conception, that Mary was not conceived by natural way, but that she was conceived miraculously. She was conceived miraculously, not She was conceived like Jesus was conceived, in other words, okay? In 1854. A syllabus of errors proclaimed by Pope Pius IX and ratified by the Vatican Council condemned the freedom of religion. Condemned the freedom of religion. The freedom of conscience, the freedom of speech, the freedom of press, and the scientific discoveries which are disapproved by the Roman Church, asserted by the Pope's power and temporal authority over all civil rulers in 1864. Remember back when they took Galileo and told him that the sun was not the center of the our universe, but the earth was. And he said, no, it's the sun. And there are many suns out there. And they told him to recant that or he would go to hell. The infallibility of the Pope in matters of faith and morals is proclaimed by the Vatican Council in 1870. The infallibility of the Pope. The Pope was not infallible before 1870, according to Catholic history. But the Pope made a lot of decisions and a lot of edicts before that. The Assumption of Mary, proclaimed by Pope Pius XI in AD 1950. The Assumption of Mary is that Mary did not die a natural death, that she was taken up in heaven, and that God would not allow her to die a natural death. And that's contrary to history and contrary to what we know, that she was a member of the church at Ephesus with John as her pastor, and he took care of her until she died, and they buried her there. According to Pope Pius XI, Mary didn't die. Now, Mary is proclaimed the mother of the church by Pope Paul VI in 1965. We have all of this evolution of Catholicism, and every time, it doesn't get them closer to the truth, but what does it do? It takes them away from the Bible and away from God. Away from the Bible and away from God. The Bible is our complete, full rule of faith and practice, not tradition. I have said this many times in the past in church history. There are many things that Baptists do by tradition. Let's make a difference between tradition and what the Bible teaches. There's a difference between tradition and practice. Tradition becomes practice, and then practice becomes doctrine. And tradition should never become doctrine. Remember that as you study the Scriptures. Tradition should not become doctrine. Jesus condemned the Pharisees and the Levites because they studied the Talmud and the Mishnah. And that is the Talmud and the Mishnah is the traditions of the fathers. You nullify the Bible itself by the traditions of the followers, what the commentaries were. There's no better commentary on the Bible than the Bible itself. Our Father, we send this message out to honor and glorify you throughout the world. Please use it. And please forgive me where I fail you. Please open the minds of people out there. It might lead them into the truth and away from error. And just understand, even that people might understand that all of these errors didn't start in 325 A.D., but they evolved. As the Catholic Church gained more and more power and more influence and more control, that she used these doctrines to assure her power that they would keep it. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.